It's Life and Taxes on the Talk Station, FM 107.1. And joining us this afternoon, Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins. And we're talking about, well, his expertise in estate planning and tax management, as well as law, but all of that are related to law. And with that, good afternoon, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Lockwood.
So what's happening in the real world, as I like to say?
Yeah, got an interesting little tidbit here today. IRS released a little press release, and you know, this press release, Lockwood, deals with when civil tax can turn criminal. Okay, now I will preface this by saying I am not a criminal tax attorney.
Okay,
I do not handle those types of matters. We leave that to the criminal defense bar to handle those types of things. But I think this case is illustrative for a couple of different reasons, and the reason I wanted to bring it up to our listeners today, because we do get questions in our office relative to, am I going to go to jail for not paying my taxes? Is that a possibility, Andrew? Is that something that could realistically happen to me? And the long and short of it, Lockwood, the quick, easy answer I give every client who asks that question is, I say typically IRS matters stay civil unless there's intent.
Criminal intent.
Criminal intent to, you know, basically fraudulently tax evade in some way, shape, or form. And the key there, whenever we have that question asked, is there intent here? Were you seeking to deceive, or were you being negligent in some way? And that line, Lockwood, is sometimes a little gray, a little blurry.
Let me just throw in there. We all will claim something on our insurance, I'm sorry, on our taxes and insurance, but our taxes in an effort to reduce our tax liability. So in reality, yeah, we are kind of, I would say that's pressing the envelope of deceit, but we do, or interpretation. Let's use that term. I'll say we interpret it. I interpret it that really that is an expense. That really isn't an income. I mean, it doesn't qualify as income. But how do you determine that deceit from intentional or?
Yeah, good question. It is. It's a fine line there, because as we know, you don't want to pay a dollar more in taxes than you have to pay. So you're willing to put positions on your return that you could substantiate, that you feel comfortable with, provide the information to your accountant, and certify that these are deductible expenses. Let them make the decision about the deductibility of it. Mm-hmm. But if you certify that they're, you know, business related under Section 162, then guess what? You get a deduction, and that means that you're paying less tax. Mm-hmm. And the news release that was released, I'll give you the headline: Durango business owners plead guilty to federal income tax evasion. So we have Durango, Colorado. We have the Fuscos, Kenneth and Suzanne Fusco. They have reached a plea agreement with the United States for tax evasion for years 2014 through 2019. They admitted they willfully overstated their business expenses to reduce their tax liability. Specifically, they categorize personal expenses as customer supplies on their accounting software and certified to tax professionals that these were business-related expenses. The tax professionals that received the information, the taxpayers, the Fuscos, certified that this information was complete and correct to the best of their knowledge, when in fact defendants knew that they were providing inaccurate information, and this resulted in unreported business income of $933,586, tax loss to the government of $160,000. They faced 12 to 41 months in prison, restitution of the full tax owed $160,000, fine of $55,000 to $55,000, sentence scheduling for February of next year. So that is the Fusco situation. And you saw some key words there, and I emphasized a couple of them. You know, knew that they were submitting false information to their accountant to deduct these expenses on their return, which were in fact personal and not business related, to artificially deflate the amount of income that they had in their restaurant business. So Lockwood, this is a couple reasons why I bring this up. I mean, number one, we get that question a lot. Can I go to jail? Well, here's an example. You can go to jail for not being truthful on your tax return. You sign that return under the penalties of perjury. Mm-hmm. So any position that you take on that return needs to be able to be substantiated and justified in the event that you are the unlucky one that gets that letter in the mail saying your return has been selected for audit. So in this particular regard, we have a 2014 through 2019. What does that mean? We have a pattern. We have several years of these same issues being asserted. So therefore, how do you negate intent? I always tell this to people. How do you negate intent? If you make a mistake, you correct it. You correct it. If you fail to correct it, Lockwood, and you continue to do the same mistake for years and years and years, that means you're not being reasonable, and that is a lot easier for the Internal Revenue Service to take it from a civil matter, meaning all they can do is collect money from you, versus putting you in prison, which is what happened to the Fuscos in this particular situation.
Okay, I'm going to make a statement on your behalf. We're talking with Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins, tax life and taxes. You know, Andrew, there are a lot of people that have, I'm going to say, intentionally interpreted the IRS laws as this is an expense, yeah. Really, this is a business expense, not a personal mm-hmm. expense, and should go down against the cost of operating the company. Okay, so I've been doing this for years. I know that when you get a notification from a tax auditor, we've been audited, they come in and they audit 1 year.
Yes.
They find something in that year, then they can go back.
That's
and
right.
There are two questions associated with this. One, if in the process of finding this error and they say, okay, this is not an acceptable deduction, mm-hmm. can you say, okay, well, we've been taking this deduction now for 5 years. Be pleasant, you know, aggressive about it, and say, all right, we need to correct that, or leave it alone. See if the IRS agent then says, okay, we're going to go back 3 years. Now, that's number one. How do you address that issue? Number two, the other question is, how far back can IRS agents go in a review of your tax forms?
Yeah, good questions. All right, so question number one, what to tell IRS if in the event of an audit? Only what they ask.
Okay.
All right? You never volunteer information. You only ask what they ask for.
Okay.
If they ask for your tax information from 2019, you provide the information from 2019. You don't bring up 18.
Mm-hmm.
You leave it alone.
Right.
The information that you provide obviously needs to be very, very organized. Don't bring them a box and say, my deductions are somewhere in that box. You know, the way that I've always handled it is, you know, folders for each month, the expenses with receipts and everything mm-hmm. else clearly delineated. You know, even if they weren't like that before the audit, by the time we get to the audit, you're darn well right they're going to be like that. So that way that you end up putting your best foot forward, because an audit is a marathon, not a sprint, Lockwood. An audit is a process where you go through initial phases. There's reconsiderations. You can go to bosses. You can ultimately end up in the tax court with an audit right. situation. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand that your goal is always, you know, win the battles along the way, and knowing that you always have another bite at the apple for the most part until you okay. hit final determination. So I always tell every client, only provide what the IRS asks for and stick to that. Now, if they want to go backwards, unfortunately, they had the right to do that. Now, how far can they go backwards? That was your second question. Generally, 3 years. That's the typical statute of limitations, is they can go back 3 years. However, if there's a substantial understatement of income, meaning that you understated your income by more than 20%, they can go back 6 years, which is looks what happened to the Fuscos in their situation, because you can see we have 14 through 19. Uh-huh. So they went all the way back a full six-year period on the Fuscos and determined that, yes, they took that same deduction for these personal-related expenses – over the course of these 6 years, and you know, nailed them for each year, and then turned it into a criminal matter, as we we've discussed, and the fact they're both facing, husband and wife, facing prison time.
I mentioned Andrew with Harvell and Collins. There's a reason to call him, a very inexpensive reason to call him. If you have any questions about your taxes, at Harvell and Collins, 252 area code 726-9050, Harvell and Collins, spell out the word and, harvellandcollins.com. All right, Andrew, the other question, and of course, I am now saying visit you at your office, the accountant. And I'm thinking a company as large as this has a, you know, CPA, a fairly reputable, I say fairly, a reputable firm behind them. What is the liability on the part of the accounting firm, the CPA, and how do, you know, what should customers do when it comes to accounting?
So in this particular case with the Fuscos, they acknowledge that they input information in their software program, probably QuickBooks, Quicken, something like that, that they intentionally categorize personal expenses as business expenses and certified to their CPA that they were business-related expenses when, in fact, they weren't. So the CPA, in this particular regard, had a document that was signed by the taxpayer saying that in their position was that they gave complete and accurate information to their CPA, which was relied upon by the CPA in order to prepare the return.
Okay, so that's perjury to the CPA. In essence, that is additional evidence, I'm thinking. I'm not trying to be your lawyer here.
You're going to be a U.S. attorney, Lockwood?
But I can see the tax court saying, okay, so you intentionally lied to your CPA, putting your CPA, by the way, in jeopardy.
Yes.
And so, you know, in many regards, there's just a clear pattern here.
Correct. And I think that's what got the Fuscos, is that there was a pattern
of
year after year after year of doing the same thing, knowing that they were incorrect, circumventing and giving their information to the CPAs in a fraudulent misrepresentation manner. And I think that's what ultimately sunk their ship and made this a criminal versus a civil matter.
Okay, one more time. Their penalty was how many? What is their jail time?
12 months to 41 months sentence.
Close to 4 years.
Yeah,
one to 4 years.
Correct, and then full tax owed, $160,000 plus a $5,000 to $55,000 penalty.
Frankly, the 4 years in prison is far more of an issue for me than the money, because that nobody wants to do that.
No.
All right, I think this is
the last thing I wanted to say, Lockwood, on this issue is, I stress to businesses, every time we create a new LLC or corporation at Harvell and Collins, one of the first things I tell them is you must keep your personal and your business separate.
Right.
Okay, don't commingle funds. Have a business account, dedicated business account. Look, an online transfer from your personal bank account to the business account to inject money, do it.
You can
don't just pay it out of the personal account.
Yeah, you can follow
it. It's so important, because you know, you see what happened to the Fuscos. They maybe crossed that line a couple times and then just kept that pattern going. And it wasn't hard to get into a situation where maybe they were even confused about their business versus personal expenses. We don't really know, because that line is gray. But if you keep it separate and apart, Lockwood, from the beginning, you're not going to jeopardize yourself either through negligence or through intent and end up in a situation where you're seeing the doing the perp walk, so to speak.
Andrew Foster, our guest this afternoon here on Life and Taxes, again with Harvell and Collins, that number 252, area code 726-9050. The cost is negligible compared to the years in jail. Very much negligible. All right. Again, 252 area code 726-9050 or online at harvellandcollins.com.